At Capella University, education is as smart as the world around us. With the FlexPath format, you can take classes at your own pace, set your own deadlines, and even leverage your previous experience to move faster. Now that's smart. Learn more at capella.edu.
Welcome to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff. The show is heard on WBCQ, The Planet, every Monday and Thursday evenings, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also listen to it on our Podomatic page, podomatic.com, and some of the shows we upload to our YouTube channel, especially if I have a guest on the line. It's brought to you by Camp Constitution, which, among other things, runs a week-long family camp, ladies' retreats, and a host of other things. And you can learn about us on our website, campconstitution.net. And now for the show. I have a number of things to discuss today. Lots of things happening. I just heard that General Colin Powell passed away. He was the Secretary of State under Bush and a neocon. He died of COVID complications, even though he was fully vaccinated. And I want to get into that mask issue a little bit. I know we've discussed this in the past, and I had the opportunity to attend a school board meeting in Maine. I won't go into the where it was, but it was in a conservative area of the state, and they meet every month, and it's not a small town, so I think it was a school board that was composed of about six or seven towns, schools in six or seven towns, and I spent the night, and my host was a school committee member, and he is a homeschooler, and he let everybody know where he stands on the issues of government schools. But they wanted him, a very wise gentleman, a Christian gentleman. So they, he ran and won, and he invited me, and I was very glad I went. There were about maybe 50 parents, which is a whole lot for an area like this. It's not very highly populated, and in the audience were also teachers, and it was kind of weird how they did that. You had teachers here and there, and teacher behind us, teacher over at principal, and I think assistant principal, and there were 13 members of the school committee, and they have to vote every month whether or not to keep the mask, the volunteer mask, optional mask issue, as well as some other things, but this was where they had to meet and vote on this, and they voted 10-3 in favor of upholding the optional mask issue, which is, of course, that they should say no mask, but that's the best they could do under the state guidelines. So, but there was vast majority of the people in the room did not have masks, but the ones that did, it was very interesting. These are all adults now, and children, by the way, do a whole lot more with the masks, but. And I sat in the back. I was going to make some comments. There was time to comment, and they let you get up there. And it was very respectful. Nobody was being threatened. There were people on both sides, most of the people against wearing masks and against in favor of maintaining the optional mask issue. And but the maskers were very interesting. There was the principal, and he would take his mask off at times, put it back on, take it off, put it back on. He'd speak, leave it off for a while, put it back on. And I'm thinking, well, what's the purpose of the mask? Does he know where the virus is floating around? Maybe he has some kind of X-ray vision, microscopic vision, excuse me, where he can actually see the virus, and he says, oh, it's not near me, I'll take it off. Oh, here it comes, I'll put it back on. The mask was totally useless in his, but he still wore it. You know, I get take it on, put it on. And there was a lady behind me, one of the teachers. She sat up against a wall, and she had it on almost the whole time. But she did take it off and put it on, and putting her fingers up to the mask on a regular basis to readjust it. There was another lady, a school committee member, that would cough and sneeze into her mask, and she didn't take it off to replace it. I'm thinking, that's kind of disgusting. It kind of nullifies the whole thing. And then there was a school committee member that was in front of me. I was a little bit behind her, and I could see her silhouette. and she had a chicken beak mask. I'm thinking, is she mocking? But she was in favor of wearing the mask, and she had it on the whole time. And I'm sitting there trying not to laugh. I'm thinking, who would take anybody seriously at wearing an outfit like this, a mask like this, during a school committee meeting? It was ridiculous. It was surreal. And then there was a mother. I think she was a mother, but she sat to my left in front of me. She had the mask on the whole entire time. And when the school committee member that hosted me for that evening said, he said, "I cannot stand a word you're saying." She wouldn't actually take the mask off. She simply just pulled it away from her face, where her, you know, obviously the mask is no longer effective, but not that they're effective to begin with. And we left there, and I said, it must be really difficult to sit through this idiocy, this idiocy on a monthly basis. And he said, there are times when I sit there and I can't believe what I'm hearing. He said that people are just so, and these are the educated people, the ones that are so ridiculous, dumb, you know, it's just amazing. Then the other night, I was with my good friend, Reverend Stevie Kraft. There was an event in the town of Franklin, Massachusetts. Franklin is the birthplace of the infamous Horace Mann, whom they celebrate, of course, with a statue and honor him, the father of progressive education. I'm sorry, the father of public education. That's something to be on. That's something to honor. There was a lady there who was a school committee member in Holbrook, Massachusetts, Summer Schmoling, and she's also a microbiologist. And she said that she did a test. She took a mask that had been worn. I don't know if she wore it or whoever wore it. And then she said, "I got some bacteria from the mask, looked under the microscope, got some from my forehead. I got some from a toilet seat." And she said the mask was dirtier than the toilet seat. So, folks, all of you people wearing masks all the time, thinking you're saving grandma from catching a disease that you don't have, it's dirty. It's going to make you sick, but you'll still wear them, and you can bring these facts up no matter how much science backs the uselessness of these face masks. They don't want to hear it because Fauci said you got to wear them, so they wear them. No matter how many scientific reports you come up with or state there are no scientific reports backing the constant wearing of masks everywhere you go, every waking moment of the day, no studies whatsoever. Doesn't matter. We're going to wear them anyway. We're going to wear them because it's a badge of submission. We love being submissive to the state. It's virtue signaling. We are superior to those dirty, unwashed, and unmasked people. No doubt Trump supporters. Those vulgar troglodytes that walk amongst us without masks. We know what's best. We know better, and we are superior. And we also got our vaccinations, and we're never going to get COVID, and we're still going to wear the masks. And it's the unvaccinated and unmasked that are causing all of the evils in the world. And these vaccines, of course, are not real vaccines. They don't protect you from the virus. It just means that you probably won't get symptoms that are as bad. And it was interesting, not too long ago, Fauci said, oh, he would never encourage mandates of vaccines. Biden said the same thing. Kamala Harris said when Trump was still president, she would never get a vaccine that came under his, that was produced under his administration. Well, now you do. Now it's mandated. Now you'd be fired. I don't care what you do. We don't care if you're the only surgeon in that particular field. We're going to fire you if you don't get the jab. I heard they call it the Fauci ouchie. We need to make Big Pharma richer and more powerful. So do as you're told or you'll be a second or third class citizen. That's what's happening, folks. And you just have to push back. And we see it. It's not just happening in the United States. It's happening more in other parts of Europe. We think, gee, socialist Europe, they're finally taking a stance. Some cases, more people than you see here in the United States. So we just have to persevere, folks, and oppose this. Now, I did mention in an earlier show that the United States Supreme Court is taking our Christian flag lawsuit And I'm not going to go into the suit itself, except there was a development that I can't mention that that looks good for us. I can't mention what the development is, but I was very encouraged to hear it. But when these this flag case has made a lot of media, and when that happens, we get lots of people that support us and some that don't, and that's fine if you disagree with us, but it's how you disagree with us. And there was this one particular person, a female. I can't say what she says. She's not very ladylike. And she sent 8 emails. The first couple of days when the story broke, it was like every 10 minutes, and it was late, like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm going to share them with you. And this is some of the idiocy and some of the triggered leftists. They have no logic. They have nothing but hatred and contempt for those who do not share their twisted worldview. So this is I'm just going to read email one, and I'll comment on some of the emails. So this is the first one. I am from the Bay State, which is Massachusetts, and I will be damned if my uppercase city hall and state is polluted by theocratic claptrap. I currently reside in New Hampshire and have seen rampant fundamentalism infest this state. Keep your gun culture and Bible thumping out of my beloved Massachusetts. So here she is. She's moved to New Hampshire to get away from Massachusetts. It's her state, not mine. I was born and raised in Massachusetts, and I live in New Hampshire now. And I was born and raised in Boston and lived there and raised my family, my wife and I. But it's her city hall, not mine, my city hall. And theocratic claptrap. So my worldview is claptrap, but her worldview, of course, is something to embrace. We hear that you see these bumper stickers that say coexist, except if you're a conservative or you're a fundamentalist, then there's no place for you. She's seen rampant fundamentalism infest the state. Boy, I only wish. Wouldn't that be nice? They did pass. The conservatives are making some grounds here in New Hampshire. They got the House suspended at the state level back, but there's still a lot of lefties around here. Keep your gun culture and Bible thumping out of my beloved Massachusetts. Yeah, her beloved Massachusetts was founded by gun culture, Bible thumping people, but it's been taken over by communists who take your guns away and burn the Bibles. If they don't burn them physically, they burn them metaphysically by their contempt and hatred for anything that is of God. Then the second one, this is the second email. I have to live with birches, rednecks, fundies, I guess that's fundamentalist, and racist here in New Hampshire. I moved up here because my partner is a gun rights advocate, etc., but not a fundus, whatever a fundus is. If I have to put up with your blank in New Hampshire, then you need to respect the wants and desires of my beloved Bay State. I hold separation if church and state dear, and do many Bay Staters tax your Scafies, Mercer, Coke, blank, elsewhere. We Democrats and progressives are pissed off, with about 4 exclamation marks. Keep your anti-abortion sentiment out of my state, too. Proud member of GLBT community in New England will never be like Texas, Tennessee in their ilk. Want that? Move to Mississippi. Boy, she's a real expert and a real linguist here, isn't she? So she has to live with birches, rednecks, and fundies and racists. And that's terrible because her partner had to get out of Massachusetts because her partner is a gun rights advocate. Oh, wow. So you had to leave this beloved Bay State because of their oppression, and you were forced to live with these awful, awful people, these birches and rednecks and fundies and racists, yes. Everyone who disagrees with her must be a racist. No, I would not say New Hampshire is a racist state by any stretch, except for where the liberal areas are, maybe, in their Planned Parenthood. And she said that, we have to respect their wants and desires. Oh, but you don't have to respect our wants and desires, right? So, I mean, it's almost impossible to... I haven't responded to any of this, and I'm thinking it's a waste of time. And then, of course, you know, so we wanted to raise the flag and have a ceremony for, you know, for a couple of hours. The flag probably would have come down shortly thereafter. And look what you get. And then she's got us saying that we're somehow in league with the Kochs and all the Scafes. That's the fellow from Pittsburgh that funds. I don't even know. I haven't heard about him. But Koch brothers are more libertarian. They like open borders. They like as much illegal immigration as possible. They're not morally upright people. They don't believe in the values that we at Camp Constitution and other those in the Christian community have. So, nah, but they must assume that Koch just cuts out checks to us all the time, which, you know, is not happening. They would give money to the ACLU. They'd give money to Antifa before they give it to us because of what we stand for. Okay, so then the third one, everyone will not be welcome if you Christian fascists get your way. Move out of New England and move to Mississippi. So we're fascists now. And, of course, this twisted soul doesn't even know what a fascist is. Fascism is total government. It's not outright ownership of private property, but it's total control of private property, which is, you know, not almost, it's probably worse because here, you know, you own your property, you pay taxes on it, and you have to you maintain it, but the government tells you what you can do with it, what you can make, what you can't make, who to hire, who to fire, what you can grow, what you can plant, et cetera, et cetera. The rest is up to you. So not a very desirable form of government. So that's what fascism is. And now we need to move to Mississippi. So she wants us to be tolerant, but we can't. But she's not tolerant. And then number four, Scaife, Olin, Mercer, Koch, Blank, Bull, Blank. Thank you, folks, on Right for Citizens United. So her. Now this is an email she sent. She went to a website, campconstitution.net, and commented. And, you know, she could have spent a little time. I mean, we all make typos, even the best of us, and I'm not the best of us when it comes to that. But that's why you have spell check. And, you know, the best thing to do if you're writing something, an email, and sometimes emails, you know, the spell checks, just put it in a Word document and then copy and paste. And, you know, the Word document, you can do your spell check and your punctuation and all that. So you don't, but she's just all emotion, no thought whatsoever, no logic, just hate. And then the fifth email, of course, Americans for Prosperity endorses and probably funds you guys. Or Christina Koch whores. So now we're whores of Christina Koch. And she assumes Americans for Prosperity endorses and probably funds you guys. Well, they haven't contacted us. If they want to donate to us, I'd be happy to accept. I don't think they will. Jane, and then the sixth one, Jane Meyer warned us of your type organization. 3! Dangerous to America. Oh yeah, I'm not Jane Meyer, some lefty journalist, I think, wrote a book, author. So she warned her, this poor soul, this twisted soul of organizations like ours. Yes, and our motto is honoring the past, teaching the present, preparing the future. We're teaching people about the proper role of government, being morally upright people, our wonderful Christian history. And this is horrible. This is just so unthinkable that we need to be silenced. And then her last one, which she sent just a day or two ago, your mission to further the agenda of the Kochs, Olins, Scaifes, Adelsons of the world. I think Adelson, didn't he just pass away? See, isn't it easier when you just say what you mean and then there's 3 after that? And I'm thinking, how do you reason? I mean, if you're at a hearing on a bill at a state house and people like this show up, how do you reason? And people are afraid. They'll say, oh, my, you have to go with this. There's no logic, no reason here at all. It's all emotion. She based her opinions on lies, on hatred of what we stand for, and this is what's happening. You know, I remember growing up in Boston. There were Democrats everywhere. Most of them loved America. They would fly flags. You know, they didn't agree with you on necessarily tax issues and how much government there should be. They didn't like forced busing. They moved out of Boston because of forced busing. You know, they weren't racist. Well, some of them were racist. Most of them weren't. They wanted their children in a safe environment. And then with the forced busing, it was less safe. And there were lots of problems. When you have to have police in the classroom, it's a good reason why maybe you should get out of that school. And a lot of them moved out. There was even Democrat legislators and the Boston city councilors that were very patriotic, that were anti-communist. That's all. Those people are long dead. You know, today they're in Boston. They're all Marxists. They raise the communist flag. In fact, this lady didn't mention anything about communist flags. She wasn't. I don't think she got a hold of the Chinese Progressive Association, and railed against communism. Get your communism out of my beloved Bay State. No, she probably was there crying her eyes out as they were raising the flag and cheering on. Yes, we want what you have. We want it here. We want you, all of our enemies crushed, like you do in communist China. And thankfully, I know there's more of us than there are of them. But this is what we do. This is what's happening. The government schools have completely destroyed the ability for Americans to think properly. It's absolutely amazing. And I want to mention, too, getting back to education in public government schools, this is my opinion, whether it be Biden, the lefty Democrats that control both the House and the Senate, with a few exceptions, down to the school committee members. I understand why they have contempt for the American people. They should have contempt. They tell us what they plan to do, and people still vote for them. All of the Democrat candidates for president, all of them, we're going to raise your taxes, we're going to have open borders, and we're going to give the illegal aliens, which we dare not refer to, they're undocumented workers, future citizens, future Democrat voters. We're going to give them free medical and free dental and free this and free that. And they all agree to it. Biden said, I'm going to raise your taxes. He said, I'm going to make your life do away with energy independence. He said all that. He did tell some lies, some lies about the vaccine mandate. He lied about that. But a lot of the stuff that he's doing, it's being done under him, and I don't think he's really cognizant. Although I said this before, that Biden has spent 50 years of trying to destroy this country with almost every policy he ever enacted. So it's like the punch-drunk boxer, the someone suffering from, it's a Latin phrase, pugilisa fighter dementia. You ring a bell and they can still come out punching. It looks like they know what they're doing. They can still be effective. But during the rest of the time, they have trouble tying their shoes. But nevertheless, I don't believe that he's calling the shots. He just reads the teleprompter. Although he doesn't disagree with what's the shots that he's advocating, no pun intended. Because again, he could do this in his sleep. He can tear down America in his sleep. And one of the things that that does bother me is that some of these media, conservative media pundits talk about Biden is inept. He doesn't know what he's doing. His policies are disastrous, and he's making mistakes. No, he's not making mistakes. They know exactly what they're doing when they call for a radical transformation of society. They want to turn the United States into Venezuela or Cuba. And if you're a big city mayor, they want to turn your city into Detroit. And I'm thinking, people can't understand that. They say, why would they do that? They have to live here too. They have twisted thinking. The rational people say, yes, I hate America. I live here. I can't leave here. I want to destroy it. But I live here too. It's like this, I think it's the scorpion and the beaver. The scorpion had to cross the river, and they said, can I get a ride from and the beaver said, no, you're going to sting me. I'm going to die. He said, why would I do that? He said, if I did that, I would drown. I said, okay, that makes sense. So halfway over in the middle of the river, the scorpion stings the beaver, and as the beaver is dying of the poison and about to, why did you do that? The scorpion said, because I'm a scorpion. In other words, that's my nature. I can't help myself. This is what I do, even if it's not in my best interest. I can't help myself. And that's what these so-called leftist progressives, some of them can't help themselves because they've been brainwashed by these government schools. Yeah, so getting back to the contempt that these elected officials have, the school committee, they're elected. And they're destroying the minds. They spend three generations destroying the minds of children. Literally. I'm not making this up. And this is Sam Blumenfeld. No joke, folks, as Biden would say. No joke. It's no joke. It's treacherous. In fact, the book the book by the last book that Sam, Crimes of the Educators, which is written by Sam Blumenfeld and Alex Newman. You can get a copy of it. It details the crimes that the educators have committed. And they're not talking about the teacher at the local school necessarily. Most of those folks have just been programmed. They don't know any better. They've been brainwashed. But a lot of them do know what they're doing, and they enjoy destroying the minds of children. So these school committee members are, all of a sudden, parents are taking are objecting to critical race theory in 1619. And it took three generations for this outrage. Where was the outrage back, you know, back in the 60s and 50s when they said, there's no God, that your children evolved, you little morons, you evolved from monkeys, and before that you evolved from dust and dirt. There is no right and wrong. You're nothing but a higher form of evolution. That the United States is evil, that Washington was an evil slave owner, and all they did was exploit people. That's what they got for three generations, that the free market system doesn't meet the needs of the average people, that socialism is the way to go. What we need, abortion, there's too many people in the world, so much for science, right? So for three generations, now all of a sudden, they're saying that not only are you evil, but you're also racist. You're born that way, and you're racist is in your DNA. So all of you little white kids are racist and oppressors. And all of you little black kids are perpetual victims. It's in your DNA. And they're objecting. And the teachers or the school committee members are showing their hatred and contempt. Well, they should. They should. Finally, the parents are speaking up. But where were they? Now, there were some. But where were they all these years? They went along with it for the most part. They went along with it. Well, I'll deprogram them. Ha, ha, ha. You know, see, my son, my daughter and son, they don't talk to me anymore. You know, they went, we spent thousands of dollars in education, and now they hate us. Well, why do they hate you? Because you put them in with people. Now, I heard this lady say that her school, elementary school, I think they were putting up all these homosexual rainbow flags in five classrooms. She was able to get them down. That's good. But, and then she thought, oh, a homophobe. Oh, no, I think her son wanted to put a back the blue flag, and they wouldn't allow it. So he said, well, if you're going to allow this flag and not that flag, then they took all the flags down. But the mindset, the worldview of those teachers that fly those flags are still teaching your children. That's dangerous. Why would you want those people teaching your children? That's the problem. So, okay, we get rid of 1619 and we get rid of critical race theory. They're still going to promote it because it's what they do. They can't help themselves. There's no way they're going to teach a curriculum that says science, the basic based on true science. You know, there's no way they're going to teach history the way it should be taught. They're going to teach history no matter what. I could donate all the text Christian conservative textbooks to these schools. And even if they took them and used it, they would still, oh, well, Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean. Yeah, he was an evil slave. Well, even if the texts don't say that, that's what they'll teach. So parents, you've got to get your children out of these government schools. You make excuses why you can't. You should be making excuses why you must get them out. Oh, we both have jobs. And well, you know what? You have to say what's more important. You know, that vacation condo, that timeshare you have, that boat you have, that motorcycle that you have, or maybe your children's future. I'll never forget years ago when I lived in Hyde Park in this section of Boston, right across from a government school, which I attended. And I remember one day the buses rolled in, and the school became, that's like 90% black. And there were a lot of good, you know, people, that don't get me wrong, but there are some blacks that don't do too well with white. They don't like whites. They're taught to hate white people. And the white teachers teach them to hate white people. So this poor little white kid, he was being bullied all the time. And the mother pulls up in a sports car. And the kid said he had enough. He just wouldn't go in there. And he was screaming and yelling. I said, this poor kid. And the teacher came out and the mother came out and just like, get him out of here. And just, going to school should be a good experience. It shouldn't be a traumatic experience. He was petrified. Well, he was being bullied every day. And the teachers, well, you know, he's away. It's his fault anyway. It's they're getting back at him. And this kid didn't do anything to any of these guys, you know, these people that were bullying him. Yet he had to be bullied. And I don't know what eventually happened. I just said, look at this. I said, I wish I had a video. I would have. This is what's happening. This is the result. Anyway, the time is up. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to the Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shirtless. And until next week, may God richly bless you.
Hi, I'm Rodney Frias, the Chief Operating Officer of S&F Concrete. We're a family-owned concrete subcontractor. We've been a signatory to the Carpenters for over 50 years. If you want to have a successful, reliable workforce, it is essential to have a great relationship with the Carpenters Union. The communication between the union and S&F Concrete has been great. I can get the qualified people that I need in just a couple calls.
Build your business with the North Atlantic States Carpenters Union. Visit nasrcc.org.